And so what I wanted to do today is I wanted to be able to share with you how God answers prayer. How God answers prayer. Because he does answer. I want you to understand how he answers. The way he answers. The answers he gives. And I'm going to suggest five different answers that God gives. It's actually going to be no, no, wait, yes, yes. I'll just let you know ahead of time. No, no, wait, yes, yes. But I want to explain the two no's, the wait and the yes, yes. But before we do that, we're going to pray. We're going to talk to the Lord. So let's go to him. Father, as we come before you now, we come so grateful for the freedom we have to meet here, to enjoy fellowship and love and family and to celebrate our relationship with you, to celebrate what Christ has done for us, to be encouraged, to be challenged, so that we can go out and impact our world, so that we can go out and be salt and light, so that we can go out and make a difference in this world for you. But I would ask now, Father, as we take a few moments to look at how you answer prayer, that you would first of all give insight and understanding, maybe new revelation to some people that did not really understand how you answer. But then secondly, Father, I pray that you would use this message to bring encouragement, to lift up those who are down, to revive those who are giving up or feeling like there's no end or no pastor coming. Encourage them. Bring back the light to their eyes, the joy to their heart, the hope in their mind that you are an awesome God who hears and answers prayer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a young man. He's fallen in love with this girl, but he just couldn't bring himself to express it in any way physically. He just couldn't get himself to do it. And so he just talked about it all the time. And he said, you know, sweetie, if I had 1,000 eyes, they'd all be looking at you. He said, you know, sweetie, if I had 1,000 arms, they'd all be holding you. You know, sweetie, if I had 1,000 lips, they'd all be kissing you. She looks at him and she says, you know, stop complaining about what you don't have and start using what you do have. Well, I think that's what the church should do, you know. We should stop complaining about what we don't have in terms of time, in terms of talent, in terms of money, in terms of leadership. And start thanking God for what we do have and start using what we do have. And one of the things that we do have is the opportunity to talk to our God, to come boldly before his throne, knowing that he not only hears, but also that he answers our prayers. So how does God hear and answer prayer? Well, number one, the first way God sometimes answers is no. I love you. Too much. No, I love you too much. You have a kid. The kid comes to you, says, I want ice cream for breakfast, ice cream for lunch, and ice cream for supper. And my in-between meal snacks and bedtime snacks, I want ice cream. And what are you going to say? You're going to say, no. And is that because you don't love your child? No, it's because you love them too much to let them have something that would not be good for them. And sometimes what we're asking God for would not be the best for us, or it would not bring the most glory to God. And so he says no. Sometimes it's because our request is contrary to his character or what his will for our life. Sometimes it's because our life is contrary to what his will is. If I'm living in sin and I'm asking God for something, he's going to say no. I love you too much to answer that prayer until you deal with the sin in your life. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we need to, a no answer sometimes can remind us, we'll examine myself, is there something in my life that might be causing God to say no? Or maybe the request isn't the right kind of request. God is saying, no, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, is asking God to remove a thorn from his flesh. And he doesn't ask just once or twice. He asks three times, God, please remove this. He's earnest. He's sincere. He's calling on the God of this universe. He knows he can do it. He says, will you do it? And God says, no. Because God is going to use this. God's power is going to somehow be amazingly displayed through Paul's weakness. And so God says, no, I love you too much. When I was 7 years old, I got shot in the eye with a homemade arrow. And I prayed, not once, twice, three times, I probably prayed hundreds of times for God to heal my eye, because I knew that he was the God of this universe and that he could heal it. But he said, no. I don't know why he said no. He might have known that if I had both eyes, I'd have probably been an NBA star and not been a pastor. I don't know why God said no. I just know God said no. And I know that he loves me. And so I accept that answer. There was a boy that was born blind. And people wondered, well, who sinned? Him or his parents? There's got to be, if he's got a problem, a physical problem like this, there's got to be sin in his life or maybe in his parents' life or something like that. And God said, no, it's neither of those. This was that my glory might be displayed. So sometimes God says, no, I love you too much. Remember Revelation 3:7, God can open doors that no man can shut, but God can also shut doors that no man can open. Sometimes he says no, and he just shuts it down. Revelation 3:7 and 2 Corinthians 12 are the passages, I think, with this answer. No, I love you too much. A second way God answers is no. But here's something better. Jesus, in Luke 22:42, has thrown himself on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. The cross is the next thing on the agenda, following terrible trials and denials and beatings and, you know, the crucifixion. And he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This cup of suffering, this cup of bearing the sins of the world in my body, this cup of having your wrath come upon me as I bear the sins of the world, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And God says, no. I'm not going to let this cup pass from you. You're going to have this cup of suffering. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be crucified. You're going to bear the sins of the world in your body. And you're going to experience the outpouring of my wrath. But here's something better. After you've done that, I'm not only going to raise you from the dead, but because of your death, it will be possible for everyone in the world to trust in you and have everlasting life. That was a no, but here's something better kind of answer. When I was in Texas back in 2006, looking for a church, and I was praying and I was asking God to let me stay in Texas. You can understand that. But anyhow, I wanted to stay in Texas. And I asked God, let me stay in Texas. Open up a door, pastor a Texas church. And God said, no. No. And he opened a door in Castle Rock. And what I didn't realize at the time was he was saying, no, but here's something better. I'm going to bring you to a church, and you're going to have the opportunity to build into some lives of people in Douglas County and work with the staff. And there'll be some bumps along the road, but eventually you have a staff that is just phenomenal and a board of elders that is fantastic and a bunch of people that are committed to serving the Lord and wanting to make a difference. And there's more. Through that time, not only did we establish incredible friendships, but we were introduced to Christian World Outreach. And through Christian World Outreach, we were introduced to Haiti. And through Haiti, I was introduced to Step Seminary. And through Step Seminary, I was introduced to the opportunity to pour my life into young men and women who wanted to make a difference in that country. It was an answer that was no, but here's something better. God knew what he was doing when he said no. A third way God sometimes answers prayer is wait. Wait, the timing is not right. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. You know, I left here at the end of June, and some of you are hoping the new pastor will be here in July. That's one month. Some of you now, it's been 7 whole months. Oh, my goodness. When the average church, it's 18 months to 2 years before a new pastor comes. And we're thinking, wow, we've waited so long. Lord, have you even heard my prayer? Yes, he's heard your prayer, but he's saying, wait. The timing's not right. And this happens in various ways. You know, a friend of ours, she said to her little boy, she said, would you like an ice cream sundae? He said, no, I want an ice cream today. That's kind of the way we are, aren't we? Sometimes we're asking God, can I have a pastor here in a while? And we say, no, I want him now. Well, I think we should say, Lord, we're going to trust you on this. We're going to trust your timing. You know, we're so used to instant. It's incredible. You know, we've got, with microwave ovens and everything, we're an impatient people. We like instant cash, instant credit, instant beauty. Who wants to work out? I mean, I want to just be healthy and fit just like this. I want it now. You know, we've got one of those famous pills I can take or diet that in 1 week I'll have lost 50 pounds and look like a bodybuilder or something like that, you know, and we want it now. And we need to be willing to get on our knees and wait. You know, we get upset if we mix one section of a revolving door. We get upset if we have to slow down 30 seconds because somebody pulled in front of us in a lane in the highway. We get upset if we hit a red light. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to wait here at this light. It's going to affect my whole life. No, it's not. We can wait. We got our computers. You type in something, you push a button. Wow, I had to wait 15 seconds before I got the answer I wanted. Man, this is killing me. No, it's not. You can wait. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Listen to Abraham. Abraham, God says, you're going to be a father. Not just a father. You're going to be a father of multiple people. So many people, if you couldn't count them all. So Abraham believes God. 5 years gone, no child. 10 years, no child. 15 years, no child. 20 years, no child. 24 years, no child. Finally, after 25 years, much of that time struggling with the inability to have a child, the child comes. 25 years. Joseph, given a dream by God, he's going to rule. He's going to be providing for Israel. And he ends up in prison. Much of that time, 10 years, much of that time in prison before he was finally elevated to a position of authority and responsibility. David, anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel, spent the next 15 years dodging spears and being hunted like an animal and hiding in the caves. 15 years. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. When he was 12 years old, he was astounding the people in the temple with his knowledge of the scripture. So he begins his ministry, right? Wrong. He waits another 18 years making chairs and tables and whatever, working as a carpenter. He's a unique God-man. Waits 30 years before he begins his ministry here on earth. Paul, the apostle, stopped by God on the road, shining light. Jesus says, you're going to be my apostle. You're going to be a light to the Gentiles. And then what happens? He begins an amazing ministry of missionary journeys. No. He spends the next 3 years in the Arabian desert. 3 years. In 2006, started praying about the church that God would have me serve in next. And I thought, you know, it shouldn't be too long. 7 months. You've waited that long. Hey, nope. A year? Nope. 14 months? No. 16 months? No. 18 months? No. 2 years. 2 years. And Grace Chapel, it's been 7 months. And I know it seems like a long time, but it doesn't compare to Abraham's 25 or David's 15 or Moses' 40. Or I didn't even tell you about that one, but anyhow, I didn't want to discourage you. So, first answer, no, I love you too much. Second answer, no, but here's something better. Third answer, wait. Wait for God's timing. Wait for another answer. Wait for a different request. Wait for God's glory. Wait. Fourth answer, yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 7:25, says, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that great? You ever sometimes wonder, okay, we know what he did when he's here on earth and everything, and then he died and rose again, and then he ascended in heaven. What's he doing besides sitting on his dad's hand? You know, what's he doing? Well, what he's doing is he's waiting for us to call on him. He's just waiting. He's up there just waiting for you to call. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And I think of Peter. You know, I love this story. He's in the boat and see Jesus come to him. And he says, well, if that's really you, Jesus, I want you to command me to come to you. Certainly not getting out of this boat unless I'm commanded by Jesus, you know. Command me. And so Jesus says, well, come. So Peter, you know, I can imagine him getting out there and he starts going, whoa, this is great. You know, he's going along. I was like, wind blowing, and turns, looks, and he starts going down. And you know how my mind works. I'm thinking, I wonder how far down he got before he finally said help. Was he just down to his ankles, up to his knees, up to his waist, or was he clear up to his neck? Before he finally said, Lord, help. But as soon as he said, Lord, help, Lord said, well, yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. And that's the way it is for you and me. Sometimes he's just waiting for us to ask. Remember James? You have not, because you ask not. He's waiting for us to ask. I was having a growing burden about being able to give time, life, to investing in young men and women, the next generation of leaders. And it was almost like God was saying, well, yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. And in order for that to happen, I was going to need ministry partners, people would come alongside and say, hey, yeah, we believe in you. We love God. We think what you're doing is great. We're with you. Walking away from a full-time salary to nothing per month. Hard to live on. And I prayed. And it's like God saying, well, yes. And I've been waiting for you to ask. Ministry partners. A fourth way God answers. The first is, no, I love you too much. Second, no, but here's something better. Third, wait for better time. The fourth, yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. The last way God sometimes answers is, yes, and here's more. I love the Ephesians 3:20 passage. It says, and our God is able to do all we ask or think. Oh, but there's more. Our God is able to do above and beyond all we ask or think. But there's more. Our God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or exceedingly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Think of Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20. Prophet had come to him and said, your time's up. Your time's up. God's taking you home. And Hezekiah went before the Lord. The prophet left. And Hezekiah went before the Lord and said, Lord, please, and I've tried to serve you, but I'd just like a little longer. Can I have just a little longer? And as the prophet's on his way, he's left. He's already delivered the message. God stops the prophet, says, I want you to go back to Hezekiah. Tell him I've heard his prayers. 15 more years. 15 more years. He's thinking, well, you know, give me a little longer. You know, I'm maybe 7 months or 2 years or 15 years. That was a yes and here's more kind of answer. During our third year at Dallas Theological Seminary, I only worked in the summers and during the whole school year, I was just in the books and doing ministry with youth and stuff like that. And Sharon was working as a nurse. But we had this desire to be able to start a family. Well, if we were going to start a family, that would mean that Sharon would step away from nursing. That would mean we need another avenue of income, because believe me, what I made working at 7-Eleven in the summer or painting in the summer wasn't going to cut it. So we started praying that either I could get a position, a paid position as a youth pastor, or that maybe we could become dorm parents at a Bible college. Well, the Bible college called. We got the position. We're going to be girls' dorm parents. That's a yes. Then Irving Bible Church called and said, hey, we would like you to be on staff as our youth pastor. And we know you're in seminary, and you can't give a tremendous amount of time to it, but we're going to pay you a tremendous amount anyhow, with the understanding that you'll stay for at least 2 years after you graduate. In other words, we're going to pay you more than you deserve, more than you can earn, with that understanding. That was a yes, and here's more kind of answer. We were hoping for at least one of the two, and we got them both. Yes, and here's more. When I stepped away from Kingwood Bible Church and was looking for the next door that God would open, I wasn't sure what we would do or how we'd make it financially, and God opened a door for me to serve at Southway Church, a part-time position for part-time pay. And that was a yes answer, because that was better than nothing. You know what I mean? A lot of you who've been unemployed and you're looking, you get something, you're grateful, because something's better than nothing. So part-time work for part-time pay. But then it was unknowns to me. This was going to be a yes and here's more kind of thing. Some friends of mine contacted the elders in church and said, hey, would it be okay if we gave to the church and that could go towards Harlan's salary? They said, well, sure. So they set a salary in. All of a sudden, I had full-time work for full-time pay as an interim pastor while I was looking to see where God would send me, which ended up being here. But anyhow, so that was a yes, and here's more kind of answer. But that's not all. About a year later, the elders called me in to meet with them, and they said, Harlan, you need to tell those people to stop giving. They're giving too much. What? That was a new one for me. I'll be honest. I was a little surprised. So I had to call them and say, look, apparently y'all are giving too much. So stop giving. But that, I mean, talk about a yes and here's more answer. Then God opened the door for us to come to Castle Rock, for which we are exceedingly grateful. But anyhow, we wanted to have a little get-together for those people who had supported us so graciously. And so we were having this little get-together, and we're in the backyard of my friend's home and a hunting buddy of mine from Texas, and having this little time to thank them for what everyone's, for their support of us. And his wife comes running in the backyard and says, there's been an accident out front. Someone's car's been hit. So we all go pouring through the house and into the front, and we're going out, and we're in the front yard, and we're looking around, and I don't see anything, but there's this truck parked right there at the end of the sidewalk, and there's a big sign on it, and I noticed this Harlan and Sharon. And I wrote the words down here, dear Harlan and Sharon, You've done so much to enrich our lives. You'll be rewarded in heaven, no doubt. But there's no way God would allow you to represent Texas and Colorado without a Texas edition Ford F-150 4x4 pickup truck. Wow. I mean, yes, and here's more. Sometimes God answers that way. You see, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I want to share three applications. Number one, God does answer the prayers of his people. God does answer their prayers. No, I love you too much. No, but here's something better. Wait for a better time. Yes, and I've been waiting for you to ask. Yes, and here's more. God always answers our prayers. Second thing I want you to understand, and this is important, God's answers are always the best answers. I want to say that again. God's answers are always the best answers. When God says no, that's just as good an answer as when he says yes, because it's in our interest, it's for our good, and it's for his glory. And when God says wait, when God says we have to wait, then waiting is the very best thing for us. It's in our interest to wait. He's always worthy. Our God, you've heard me say this before. Our God is wise enough to know what is best. He's loving enough to want what is best. And he's powerful enough to do what is best. Our God will do what is best. Our God is a good God, and he does what is best for our good and for his glory. The third application I want to highlight is that God's character merits our trust. Because he is a holy God, we know he'd never do anything wrong. Because he's a loving God, he'll never do anything mean. Because he is a powerful God, he's never too weak to act. Because he is a caring God, we know that he's always with us. He's going to do what is best. He never will leave us. He will never forsake us. One of the things I enjoyed so much while we were here in that little transition period was getting together for those prayers on Thursday nights, and we would focus on some attribute of God and listen to a song about that attribute and read some scripture about that attitude, and then we were so prepared to come before God because we knew he deserved our trust. He was worthy of our trust. His character merited, earned, deserved our full confidence and trust. Our God is powerful, and he's loving, and he's caring, and he's tender-hearted, and he's faithful. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our loyalty. He's worthy of our trust. I like the words of Eliza Hickok. I spent one whole night in an emergency room with a buddy of mine when he had a parent in the emergency room, and I saw this quote on a bulletin board. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought, but I leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed. That's our God. That's our God. We can trust him. We can be confident he's hearing our prayers. What a great God we have. How great he is. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And Matthew, knowing that's my favorite, all-time favorite hymn, had prepared that for our closing, and I actually was going to ask that we do it anyhow. So why doesn't the praise team come up? and join me in honoring this awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God who hears and answers our prayer by singing, "How Great Thou Art." Would you stand with us?